Call the meeting to order. 7:20, September 7:10, September 16th, 2025. Approval of agenda. Is there anything anyone needs to add? Okay. Can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Sue.
All those in favor, and that is carried. Guests, seeing that there are none, we'll move on to approval of the minutes. Tuesday, August 19th.
I move the minutes Tuesday, August 19th, 2025.
Okay. Any discussion on those? Not? All those in favor? And that is carried. The Public Works Report.
Generator battery. They are buying us a new one. I don't know who they is, whether it's Cat Finning or whether it is Armax or Simpson, but one of them is covering the cost of it. It should be out here this week, Scott told me.
Out of it would be Simpson, probably more of a maker of that.
Yeah, I don't know. Gavin told me they were kind of bickering over whose fault it was and who was going to eat the cost. Oh. I guess it's kind of an expensive battery. We're not eating the cost.
So the plug-in, whatever the thing is.
Well, apparently it was plugged in. So originally, what Gavin interpreted from Scott was that the
charger
thing wasn't plugged in, and then when Scott went out and looked, he said, nope, the charger's plugged in, and he thought that the GFI switch had bumped on it or something. So
that wasn't the case, and it is the battery.
The battery wasn't being maintained with the battery maintainer. So I think the plug that the battery maintainer was plugged into glitched out, and it just wasn't charging the battery or maintaining it since October of last year. But also, like, our monthly generator runs weren't happening until about April or May. So, Scott thought they were automatic and they should have just come on, and didn't realize they weren't coming on until we were talking about it. And so he had to go in and, I guess, reset it or something to make the schedule automatically come on the fourth Monday of the month or whatever. And so I don't know if it would have been coming on more regularly if the battery would have been more maintained too, because it basically sat all winter in the cold and never got turned on at all. So hopefully that problem should be solved. And then it's also due for its annual maintenance, which has to be done by a Cat Tech. So he's waiting to hear about that, I believe, from Simpson as well.
The other thing I was going to ask about, I haven't noticed, is anybody checking the bolts on the solar?
I have asked him, and not recently, so I will ask him to do that again. Because I did ask for it to be done monthly, but you're right, it has not been done.
Well, the windy season starts up.
Yeah, but the wind was blowing from the north today. I was walking my dog, and I was wondering about it.
Did you hear any creaking or
something? No, it just got me thinking.
No, I was thinking about it a couple weeks ago, too, and yeah.
Is that lagoon been mowed or every month?
Have they been back?
The inspectors? No. It was in October of last year that we had our inspections. I think they'll be coming back because the water plant was going to be annually until we kind of got our feet under us and knew what we were doing as the new operators of the plant. So yeah. I would expect that the lagoon inspection will come out.
So they'll check it at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay. questions on Public Works? Not moving on to admin report. So you're hopeful on iTron?
I saw that and I was like, connected on my phone for, I only had to, like, it stays actually connected for 5 minutes or so, like, instead of 25 seconds and then have to restart it. So it's doing, the one guy told me it should stay connected for 90 seconds and then you just hit read any again and it will connect for another 90 seconds. But it was picking up blocks away. Like, I don't even know if I would have to go up and down every single road, to be honest. Like, I did, just to cover everything this time. But, yeah, it worked way better on my phone. So, I don't know if we want to sell the tablet or something, because that's the only thing it was used for, and it was useless. So,
not going to get much for it.
No, probably not, because it's 4 years old now.
Yeah. Worthwhile. Another worthwhile piece of equipment.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to put it up for sale.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
I'm going to do that.
Pay for a meter.
Yeah.
What could you use it for except for games?
Somebody with a game on it. Some kid.
Yeah.
And it'd be okay for that?
Oh, yeah. Games and email and browsing, like internet.
But it couldn't be used. It couldn't put no programs in.
I don't see why not. Like anything from the Play Store. Or whatever.
No, I'm talking about like for something like my CNC machine. I put it on my laptop and then I put my laptop on the CNC, but I don't know if that works.
There you go, you can look at it.
Well, I have no idea how I would even go from that. I don't know how I would. It just looks like my phone.
Yeah, it's an Android based tablet.
Yeah, I have no idea. I can't put a memory stick there, or the...
No, there's
not enough. There's nowhere to put my connections.
Oh, okay.
The Infrastructure Master Plan meeting?
Yes.
That went well.
It did go well.
I guess I'm jumping.
Yeah, no.
Again, sorry.
Yeah, I have some notes for you.
And did you get this stuff with ATB figured out?
I think so. Okay. Yeah. They seem to have put a hold on adding more people onto their new system until I think they set up October.
See the other stuff I don't know?
Yeah, okay. But, knock on wood.
There was nothing in your report, so I was like, maybe it just crapped the bed and they're done with that.
No, it works great. Like, that's the frustrating part, is it's a really good program, and it's way nicer to use than the old one.
Yeah.
But when they add another group of agencies and branches on and just freezes everything up and nobody can do anything, so.
Okay. Do correspondence. Do you want to move the reports?
Correspondence first.
Okay. Correspondence? Any correspondence?
The only correspondence I got was today in regards to an item in new business for advanced voting, so it's kind of related to that.
Okay.
I will move the admin and public works reports as information.
All in favor? And that is carried. Financial reports. Did we have to pull money out? Are we going to have to pull money out of reserves for the Armstrong repair?
No, I think that could be covered under LGFF grants for, like, water, sewer infrastructure.
Okay.
That's my plan.
I wasn't sure if they covered for one.
Thank you.
Mr. Reuter is up for that also?
Yes.
What was Pizza Hut?
That was last day of work for Tiana. We always do a lunch.
That Chris Holman publication from.
But he's great. Like, Scott will text and say, I've got free time on Friday for some meter installs, and they're here and get them done. And they had a real problem one 2 weeks ago under a trailer. And so he said, I can't do it by myself. I'll have to come back next week. So they quoted me like, I don't know, it was like almost $1,000 worth of time and effort, because it was in like a sonotube kind of under the trailer. There was only this much clearance under the trailer, and the sonotube didn't have a lid on it, so basically filled with dirt, and the meter was down in there somewhere and they couldn't see it, wasn't reading, wasn't working. And so he was like, I'm going to have to like dig it out and pull it out and disconnect all this. And he's like, it's going to be a job. And I said, okay, well, it needs to be done, so get it done kind of thing. And they ended up, it wasn't as bad of a job as they thought, and we had booked that part of the job for like 9 till noon that morning, and then the other 3 meters were after lunch, and they were done everything by noon. So,
oh well,
yeah, so sorry.
Nice. Take the little wins.
Yes, so we had 9 meters installed this month. Wow. And yeah, so hopefully
that one that was has a 2x4 in front of it. Is that one
done? That one's done. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So is that the final payment to Simpsons?
Yes. That was the holdback, and when they did the drains, they rerouted those drains that were exploding everywhere all over when the fire pump kicked on. That was for both of those. Yes, it was $10,000 for the full stack. And we were holding it back until we got the operating manual, and that came about a month ago. So.
700 and some pages?
Yeah. I was like, wow, I was expecting a comprehensive document, but that was impressive.
So how come Xerox is like, did that bill get missed for July or something? Or August? It's right at the bottom.
One is our quarterly lease payment, and then the other one would be our printing charges.
Oh, okay. That makes
sense. Do we still have to buy more water meters?
I think we're sitting okay right now. I don't know exactly how many we have, but I think we should have like 5 to 10 still, I'm hoping.
kind of looks like our water usage might end up less than budgeting.
It might.
241,120. So three quarters away.
Yeah, it might.
I'm curious to see if Twin Valley will stick with that billing structure.
I know at the one meeting she said it makes it way easier than to do that. And she said then we what we use is what we pay for.
Mm-hmm. Tracking it on my spreadsheet to make sure that our payments to Twin Valley are covered by how we're charging it, and we're good. So.
But I don't think there's any more leaks now that were.
Mm-hmm.
That one that was over there that was going in, I don't think that's leaking over there anymore.
Since we capped it off?
Well, the one for the thing that we turned off. Remember the other one he said he was getting it in his.
Yeah.
Drain that was running in the sweeping towel all the time.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard that. It sounds like it's kind of quick, so.
Yeah, I haven't heard.
Maybe
that.
When we shut that other one off, we fix the problem.
Maybe, yeah. Any issues with the financials? If not, can I have a motion to approve?
I will move the financials as presented.
Okay. All those in favor, and that is carried. Old business bylaw number 858.
Okay, so that I uploaded to the RPath portal on Thursday through something I one step I had to do. It got approved, and now I just have to send the approval notice, all of the original documents, the original bylaw that's been signed, and all of our notifications for public hearings and everything up to the minister, and then that will take from 3 weeks to 365 days to be signed and then sent back to us, and then after that comes back we can do second and third reading and then proceed with the closure.
Okay. So LGFF grant.
I still have not heard whether our projects have been approved, but item G, we're going ahead with the infrastructure master plan because
okay.
I think we should get it rolling because we've had a lot of issues pop up and
yeah,
connections that need to be made, and we don't know where, what's under there.
We were told that it was on his desk waiting to be signed. So.
Yeah, a month ago. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's a big stack.
Roving Energy Manager Grant.
This is becoming a pain in my butt. We had the Schmelkies come out to look at the shop. It's not worth re-insulating, so I sent that information back to the program manager, and because they're kind of on me to apply for something to spend the grant money, and so I told them that my ideas was baseboard heaters, programmable thermostats in the shop, weather stripping or whatever, power bars to shut off like strips of things, like the speakers that he's got in there run all the time, like they just kind of hum all the time, so they're always on, they're always using power, so I thought if we could just have a switch or a power bar or something, like just a few different things to save a bit of money. And so, but I need someone to give me a quote on doing this. And nobody, like, I'm trying to explain to them, we don't have a lot of contractors in the area that have the time or wanna to come out and do it. So the last email I got from him last week was that they would reach out to some of the program allies that they have that are contractors that are based in Calgary and see if they could give me a quote just so I can have something to put in the paperwork. And then whether we buy the baseboard heaters and install them ourselves, like I don't know at this point. But.
No, that's still cheaper than what it was doing.
Yeah.
But how come Smelkies, did they give you a reason why it's not worth something?
They said that they those kind of buildings are just inherently poorly insulated, and he said in order to re-insulate it, because it's just the bubble, the silver bubble stuff, he said you basically have to take all the plywood off of the lower parts of the walls to get down in there to properly insulate it, otherwise you're only insulating like a third of it. And he said the leaks in the roof, like the air drafts that you can see, the insulation flapping, he said they won't do any work on those kind of roofs because as soon as you fix one thing, as soon as you go on them, it causes other movement and issues. And so they'll fix the one and then six more will happen as they shift and move. So he's like, if you ever want to build a new shop, you may call. I was like, when we win the lottery, I sure will. Yeah, so that was kind of disappointing because I thought for sure that would be just
that would have been
done.
Great.
Yeah, would have been perfect. But no.
Okay.
And even spray foaming it wouldn't help.
I can look into that. I think it'd be way more than $10,000.
You think so?
I think so.
Yeah.
But
maybe.
I
don't know.
I can look into it.
Health and safety policy.
I got comment back from Scott yesterday, and he said it looks good. The only thing he's only concerned.
Yeah. The other night I went out because he just kept going up and down, up and down.
His only concern is safety glasses, and if we are requiring him to wear safety glasses for jobs, then he will need safety prescription glasses. So I emailed him back and said, what kind of jobs? Like, I bought the shields for weed whacking, so you're protected. And for, like, tree trimming or whatever, like, they can be used. Because they sit kind of on your hat or whatever, like, up on your forehead. So you have vision. So I emailed him back and said, like, can you give me, an idea of what kind of jobs you would need safety glasses for that you don't, that would be dangerous to your own glasses? Like, I'm thinking, like, things that would shatter your lenses or whatever, and he never got back to me. So I know that for the one or two jobs, maybe, like, there's those over the glasses, safety glasses, if it becomes an issue or something, but I don't know if you guys have any comments.
That's interesting that that was the only concern.
He asked me, he said, did you read that whole thing? And I says, God, I gotta be honest with you. I said, no. I probably looked at every page, but what I read on it, I said, I can't even remember now. Mm-hmm. And I said, even if I'd have read it intently, I wouldn't be able to remember it anyway. So
yeah.
I said, no. I said, what Kelly, I think, was asking of you is for you to look it over, and if you thought there's something on there that shouldn't be, or you thought something that should be on there that isn't, then that's what she's trying to get you to help with.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I did start reading it and everything there. He says, but he did say about safety glasses.
Yeah.
And I said, well, with anything, Scott, I know if I was working the job and someone said you have to have your safety glasses on, I said, I would put them on.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, I'll tell you the truth. As soon as they're around the corner, I would take them off. So I said, you got to do what you do. But I said, you are warned to wear your safety glasses. And if something happens, it's back on you.
Yeah. It's the same with hearing protection. The OH&S lady said he should have fit tested hearing protection too. So.
But. Yeah. Yeah, it's the same thing. I mean,
things like that.
If it's supplied for them and they don't wear it,
that's
their bad. Maybe, you know,
would he wear them if they're over the his existing glasses?
Probably not.
I would bet not.
Yeah. So that was the only comment he had, was safety glasses. So if he has like some specific jobs that he's concerned about, that would like, because I mean, his glasses are protecting his eyes as far as I'm concerned. Like,
that's what he said. Yeah.
And that's what you're supposed to do, is protect from impact of your eyeballs. So
yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? In the, for his own common sense, if he was doing any grinding, to me, he would want to put that
the
cover
shield
on.
Yeah, because I think like that we've got welding masks in there. He should have a grinding shield if he's doing any grinding. Like,
so if they're in there, then it's,
yes,
that's up to him.
Okay. Okay. Do you want to pass the policy, then I can stop bugging you about it? Or do you want me to cut pieces out of it because it is so big? But
no, I'll make a motion to approve the health and safety policy as you presented.
Okay. Any more discussion? If not, all those in favor? And that is passed. Carried. Fire hydrant policy.
So, I was going back and forth with Chief Hedrick about this because I wanted to make sure we got the right color of paint. And he called me and he goes, there is no way that all of your hydrants are red. He's like, that is the lowest flow. You guys had all those upgrades done. Didn't you just have hydrant flow testing done? I said, yep. He's like, send it to me again. So I sent it to him again and he's like, was your fire pump on when these were getting done? And I was like, I don't know. I'll check with Scott. And Scott said he wasn't told that it was even happening, so he never knew anything about it. But it does say on his task list sheet that he was monitoring the water plant during the hydrant testing, because it was, like, October, so he doesn't remember, I guess. But the fire hydrant, or the fire pump, wasn't activated. So I'm going three different directions here with Gavin for the IMP thing plus Doug for the painting of the whatever. And so Gavin asked me as well for the fire hydrant information. So I sent that to him and I said, like, I don't think this is accurate though because our fire pump wasn't on. So I don't think it's proper output. And so he looked at it and he said, in the report, it shows them using a certain size, like orifice or something. And he said, there is a graph that you can take the flow that comes out of the orifice and calibrate it, and that should show you what the actual flow of your hydrant is. I was like, well, that would be helpful, but they didn't provide that for me. So I don't know. Gavin said he would send it to me, but that was last week and I haven't seen it. But so long story short, I don't know what our actual flow rates are of our
with the fire pump
going.
Okay. So that's
which I didn't even think of.
No,
literally did not
I
even.
I just assumed that that was.
Yeah. So I'm waiting for more feedback and follow up from.
Now, if there's a fire, where do they go to turn that fire pump on?
It automatically
kick on.
Yeah.
That's just a drop.
Yeah. So when they do.
It drops to a certain level. When we.
Open a
pull
hydrant.
Out of a hydrant.
When we pull, yeah.
Yeah. So because the testers were only pulling a small, like, basically. Double a garden hose size kind of thing, it wasn't dropping the pressure low enough in the system to kick the fire pump on.
Okay.
So
that makes sense.
So that was kind of
so when we open it full, and that's when Scott gets called there because we open it to the full flow rate.
Yeah.
Then the fire pump kicks on, Scott gets called out there.
And Scott doesn't have to respond unless you guys hammer it, and it drops way low, and then a second alarm comes on, so then he has to go in and manually reset it. If it's just the fire pump kicks on because of low pressure and the pump, then he get notified, but he can just acknowledge the alarm, and then once you guys are done with the fire hydrants and stuff, it does cycle for a bit, and then goes through and switch back to the other ones. So... but only a couple times he's been called out because it's been like.
But I do look at hydrants wherever I go now.
Don't look at ours yet.
Yeah. I'll have to mention that to Wyatt.
Yeah, I CC'd him on my email SKUs all over the place, and so I said to Doug, I'm like, do we have to pay another $6,000 or whatever we paid for this hydrant testing? And he goes, no. Like, we know your hydrants all work. Like, it's okay. Don't think, like, you don't have to worry about doing that right away. But it took me, like, 2 months to get a map of what the hydrants, because they numbered them in the report and didn't give me a map either. So
Or addresses
of what hydrants are what. So, note to self. I didn't. That's the company next time, I think. But anyway, so that's an update on that. So that's why they're not painted yet, because we don't have a clue what color they're supposed to be yet. So red was easy. I was like, just,
they're all red.
You painted them all anyways. You
know. I think they were all red.
Yeah. Very well could have.
Before they were.
Guarantee you. Yep.
Yeah, and he does this, and then some Sunday it was like boom, 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 boom. I think it was Sunday or Saturday. Yeah. He does it in the evening. Okay. Where does he live? Is he one of the Friesens?
Mm-hmm. That's how Dan looks.
Oh.
Interesting.
Okay. All right.
Sorry. Nope, that's it. Land use amendment proposal.
Okay, so I told Steve, just send me some information and we can go over it at either October or November's meeting. So these are the different types of secondary suites that can be included in an amendment. So there's a basement suite, there's an attached suite, and then there's like a loft above your attached garage. Or you can have a completely detached suite in your backyard, beside a garage or a loft of a garage. And then what's the last one? A detached garage suite that they fully converted the old garage into a whole secondary suite.
So it's more like the detached garden suite, only bigger.
That, I think this one is actually kind of what he's looking for. Cause I think my understanding was it was going to be upstairs.
Yes.
He wants it just on the top of his garage.
Above his garage.
Yeah.
That's it.
So that's...
And he has the foundation.
Yeah,
carriage house suite. Carriage house suite.
Mm-hmm. So he said those are the common ones to consider after he speaks with council at the next meeting. If you wanted to add something into the bylaw, he can draft some criteria and land use bylaw proposed amendments.
I don't like these ones.
Yeah, I don't like that one at all.
The separate buildings on the properties?
No.
I don't know that we have any lots here.
I just think then you got to worry in your area coverage and
yeah.
I like these ones and this one. Like,
yeah,
they're all kind of part of the.
I'm not sure about that one either, but I like this one.
It's on a circle, which one's you like or something? He said the main thing to decide.
This one.
The main thing to decide is what types of secondary suites that you would like to see and whether or not you want them as discretionary uses or permitted or a mix. So if they're permitted, they don't have to go to the MPC.
Yeah, no, it can't be permitted.
So I. Yeah.
No,
I would think discretionary.
Yeah.
For detached.
So then
suites,
this one we don't want. This one.
No. Yeah.
Or this one.
Or this one.
So detached.
Done. You're not getting it.
I can't see.
Oh.
These are like convert a garden shed into a suite.
See,
convert a garage.
That one there is what when owners when someone was talking about. I said that we were worried about. We didn't have someone come in and take your old shed and try and say, oh, I'm renting this out now.
Yeah,
no, you're
and
not.
I said, you can't do crap like that.
Yeah.
But, no, it's, we need it above. Well, I know that's what he's planning.
Yeah. So Steve says he would suggest the above detached garage loft type is the most common type allowed by many municipalities, and he said he would consider these prior to allowing standalone suites or full detached garage conversions. Not having a decent sized lot and being with an accessible rear lane are the minimum considerations along with how it will be serviced. Usually the accessory building height has to be raised to at least 24 feet to accommodate such a use. Other than basement suites, I wouldn't suggest that any other type they may consider should first be placed in the bylaw as discretionary use. See how it goes for a few years before ever considering it to be a permitted use. Basic things to think about are lot sizes, especially if you're looking for a detached garden suite type, servicing, how they're to be serviced, and the access. He can go over those considerations in detail more when you meet, and it is the standard land use bylaw amendment process where we have to advertise, have a public hearing, etc. So once they have a draft policy, then the timeline will be 5 to 6 weeks depending on council dates.
Is this the blue and white dirt bike?
It's blue and white or green and white.
Kid?
No.
I'm going to take a picture. He just goes up and down almost every single night.
Four
about this time. Oh, here, I thought maybe it must be one of the Mennonite kids, because they see him go down that way, and surely some grown-ass adult wouldn't be doable.
See, I'm not the only one that screws up.
Okay, back to...
Anyway, so... Those I'm are not just sure if I like this one either, but...
Yeah, I'm...
But I guess it's half garage and half...
But that one's going to depend on lot size, right? More,
yeah.
More so. Because you got to go by the regulations for...
Yeah, these ones all would not affect the area.
Yeah.
But these two could potentially...
And to me, like, it's all going to go through municipal planning. Mm-hmm.
It is, yeah.
So it would be easy to regulate it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so which is our next step?
He will come in October or November, whichever meeting you guys would like to speak to him at, and then start the process of drafting a bylaw. He said he could have some draft criteria at land use bylaw, proposed amendments prepared within a week or two after he meets with you. And then we can do first reading in the next meeting, public hearing in December.
Maybe he'll be into January.
Into January.
So, and yeah, he just will not start until May.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if we gave you, like they just... Could you not just tell Steve this is what we're... And this is what council...
Sure. Yeah. And then he would want to talk about servicing. So these ones would be
tied in.
Probably tied in. But you could...
Well, I know the one that was going to go above the garage, he was talking about a separate meter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's a separate building.
Because it's a separate building. That one would probably have to be separate.
Well, he's got it in his garage right now.
These two would be separate.
Oh. Yeah.
This potentially could be separate.
He's not getting billed for that.
for gas.
Oh, gas, sorry. Yeah.
He doesn't have water. He doesn't have water there, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, these ones, top three would tie into your existing infrastructure, but these ones...
Potentially.
Would,
this this one could...
That one could be separate.
Those two could potentially be separate. That one would... When Jasmine was renting, she was... I mean, the landlord got the bill.
They can do them all, but it's whether they're willing to pay for the services.
Okay.
So those are the only two we're crossing off?
I think even on the other ones, there where it is separate, to me
the
that one...
The NPC decision after that?
Yeah, because that one we'd... I could say be fairly strict on.
Yeah.
You're taking way too much of your lot up.
Yeah. Okay, I can pass that along to him.
Okay. Infrastructure master plan project.
All right. So I had a meeting with Gavin and I can't remember the other guy's name last week. They kind of went over the plan, asked some questions, took a whole bunch of our paper maps, and they're going to scan them, digitize them, and then bring them back. But they
update the crayon markers.
The one guy was like, actually, the crayon ones are sometimes the most accurate that you might have. I was like, well, can't be any worse than what we have.
Give or take 10 feet either way.
So basically, they're getting their data from ORSC, so they got all of our GIS information. There's actually under the tablet there is the maps printouts that they brought in.
Those are tiny.
Oh.
Yeah. There's a couple copies there that I just kept. So... they will be doing video and flushing of our hydrants. So they're going to flush all the hydrants out and do video whatever, observations of them, and give us a status report on all the hydrants. They are also going to use hydrovacuum. Stupid little thing. They're going to do spot hydrovacuum to investigate water lines because they can't be videoed. They are going to go through and update our storage and distribution study that was done in 2021 prior to the application for the water grant. They will go through, check all of our hydrants, which we checked, and all of the valves, and see if there's any that are seized or broken, need to be fixed. Go through the history of any line issues that we've had or breaks recently. We haven't had any breaks, but we've had curb valves that are broken and stuff like that. They are also looking to the future for any capacity issues that we would have with our sanitary system. Like if we wanted to expand east out of town, he wants to do a full kind of workup for us on what that would look like, whether we actually would need a second lift station or whether we can.
That'll be nice to have concrete information.
Yeah.
So what's always been said.
Yeah. He's also going to look at the looping that's still required to be done, as well as Alta Vista, like water out behind Alta Vista. He said he would give me the proposal that they did for Patrick on expansion that way, because it's only about 5 years old. He also questioned when our last lagoon discharge was, and I said, as far as I understand, it's been well over a decade. And he looked at me and went, any concerns of leakage? And I said, nope. And he's like, okay, we'll be doing like an evaporation study and flow study and kind of determine whether what is going in is evaporating out. So I did tell him we had an inspection, like Albert Environment came out and everything, and that you can't see the riprap in the rock right now because of the growth and stuff, but that's what it looks like. They're also going to give us condition rating on our sidewalks and our asphalt and kind of just look at our roadways and stuff like that. So,
wow.
And they're looking for spring 26 completion. So
that'll be nice to have.
Yeah.
Because it'll also help with your strat plan and your
100%
capital budget where you need to go.
Yeah. So I'm excited.
Thanks for that update.
Yeah, that is. That will be so good.
Franchise fees at Confortis.
So I got emails from both of them in the last 2 weeks asking if we wanted to change our franchise fees and the process to do so. I'm just floating that. I don't.
We just changed the one last.
Yeah, we lowered it last year for ATCO. So.
Are we going through with it?
I'm good with it. Keep it the same.
Keep it the same.
Yeah.
Fall community keep cleanup.
Would we like to do this again? We did it last fall, I think, after.
Do we have good buy-in?
I think so. I'm just looking back to see.
To me, it shows kind of like we're behind cleaning it.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping a good village, and just even if it's the visual that we leave them with, whatever.
Especially with all the unsightlies.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Sure.
Start as we mean to go on, and we can
yeah.
Start on them again in the spring.
Yeah.
So, Thanksgiving is the 13th. Do we want to do the 15th like
yeah.
I proposed?
Okay. Do you need a motion for that? Or?
Put it in the newsletter.
Yeah.
And then school help out as well.
Sure.
So yeah.
The residents seemed happy for the help and the student.
It is taken advantage of. Like
yeah,
they are
really
used.
Was
so yeah. for spring. So I'll double, oh, I haven't talked to the principal yet this year, but he was gung-ho to participate in whatever he could with the community last year. So.
Mm. Perfect. Nomination day.
This is next Monday. I just pulled up our elections bylaw because Steph was asking about it, and it actually says in there from 9 to 12. I'm supposed to take... Okay. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just hold it in my chair.
Okay.
Follow the rules.
No. Yeah. I'm not anticipating a lineup out the door of people coming in with their papers.
We won't have quite the mayoral race.
No.
Like, we won't have quite the mayoral race with Potter.
Thank God. I can't imagine something like that.
Sewer clean out options.
Okay, so Scott talked to the Neochem guy that we get our something chemicals for, and he sells a chemical that you need 1 cup per clean out, and you have to monitor the use because overuse can get into the roots and actually kill the trees. But Scott would have to apply it, so it doesn't really put the onus back on the homeowner to maintain their lines, and it's $525 for a 25 kilogram pail. I did look up Home Hardware. They still have a product for sale that says that it will clean in sewer lines of roots and blockages. It's $50. I think it's a 3-liter jug, and they say pour it down, wait, make sure you got good ventilation, wait a minute or an hour, I don't know. But it has all the instructions on there and everything. So I don't know if we share that information with people and encourage them to use the Home Hardware cleaner to prevent blockages. Like, would people say, no, you have to
keep
that?
Well, if they buy it themselves, I can't see many at $50 a jug even buying it, a lot of them. And if they had a problem, then...
As compared to... $300 Roto-Rooter bill?
Yeah, but if we go in and give them their one free clean out a year because of roots.
But no, but what I'm thinking of, if they're not having a problem, they're not going to do it. If they start getting something pluggish or slowing down or something, then they can go buy the $50 thing and try it too.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
No, it's...
Like, I'm not going to go buy a $50 jug if I don't have a problem.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think...
But...
If I can share that information...
Put in my newsletter, if you're having issues with your sewer, go buy a $50
jug. October is the time when roots are trying to find.
Okay.
Before winter. They used to dump that stuff down every April and every October.
Okay.
When we had problems.
And did you buy it or did the village?
No, the village, because we had poplars, 3 poplars around our property.
Okay, I guess that's my question, is do we do this for people or do we expect maintenance from the homeowner to prevent the plug? Even if it is village trees, which is the issue. But, because we can do the pail of granules or we can...
But I think that stuff really works. You just have to really be on it, because if you don't...
The granular?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It works, but then you have to make sure you flush lots after, because otherwise the fumes come up into your house.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be nervous about letting a homeowner do it themselves.
Yeah, like Scott would...
Unless it's changed.
That's what the guy said from Neochem. He's like, that's your public works does that. Like, you don't give it to people. Because that's what I asked him. Like, can we just... I know, cupfuls. Some people going to do it themselves, or I guess I'm just trying to prevent Scott from having to go and auger out everybody's sewers every spring, or you know what I mean? Like,
but then he's going in their house flushing stuff down their toilets too.
Yeah, so it's
I'm going to flush it, and then what? Here, you flush, keep flushing your toilet every 15 minutes until it's and then
so even if you don't keep flushing it, it comes back through the traps.
Well, I know the one time it was done and then they forgot to come back, and the house, I called Dad because the house started to smell and it was all the fumes, so he went in and got them to come back and flush the lines out, and that's because it had sat for too long.
Like, it's it's a live-based product, right? So it heats up and it sinks. And it's
20 years ago, so I don't know.
Yeah. It's the same, but...
Yeah.
I mean, then you get Scott, like, going host to host to host, flushing their toilet. if they do this, they're flushing their own toilet.
To me, it's something we should have on hand for the village.
Just in case.
But I'd strongly encourage people to
do their own thing.
Yeah, and I mean, you can do a did you know that October is a month for tree roots to be creeping. Although if you have problems here, you probably are already aware of that.
Yeah.
I just feel like the people that have
my
the
concern
problems aren't.
Yeah.
I'd be like.
I used to have a problem every second year. And the one year when the guy came up to do it, I said, "You are not going far enough out there. That's why this is not working." And he said, "That's as far as I can go." I'm like, "No, it isn't. I know how far you can go." And so he put on two or three more lengths and went up and started hitting solid. That's went quick.
I mean, you still have to take a little bit of ownership for it, like a little bit of preventive maintenance, like Sue says, you know. But
yeah. I'll put in the newsletter and see if we get any inquiries about
this
option exists.
Yeah.
Good
investment rather than, like you said, a $600 Roto-Rooter call if it's on your property, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly.
Okay, I can do that.
Okay, BT Sheriff Renewal.
SCADA. So this is the thing in the water plant that has all of the information on it and calls us out and does all the tracking. They had told us about this last year that it is an expensive renewal every year. If we choose not to renew it, it still operates. But say in 3 or 4 years, if we need an upgrade, we have to back pay all of our missed annual license. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they get you over a barrel on this one. It is $1,761.64 for a 1 year.
An essential part for operations.
Kind of is,
yeah.
Good.
Do you want to
motion that?
Okay.
Can I have
a motion?
I make a motion that we do the VTS SCADA renewal.
Okay. All those in favor? That is carried.
Thank you.
Advanced voting.
I received a request in writing today asking for advance voting. This resident will be away on election day. It says that there is election, or in his letter, he says that under Section 73, Sub 2 of the Local Authorities Election Act, it says that council may pass a resolution to allow advance voting. I got this after lunch, so I did email emailed Municipal Affairs asking if we needed a resolution, if it needed to be part of our bylaw, or if we could just offer advance voting as a courtesy, and I haven't heard back, so I don't know if we need a resolution and how a resolution differs from a motion versus a bylaw. Like, I was trying to Google it and clarify what we needed to do, and what it would look like. Like, can we run it just at the office? The one thing that I did read in the LAEA was that each day of advance voting needs to have its own ballot box, and it needs to be sealed at the end of the day so that no other ballots can be entered into it. So I don't know how many days of advance voting we would offer, or... Like I said, if we can do it here, I'm assuming we can, because during the federal election, you could vote at the returning office.
Yeah.
Right at the desk. So I don't think we would have to have like a separate thing offered.
Would one day be enough? I would say that's one day if we're going to, if we even think we need to.
Yeah. During office hours, one day during office hours?
I would think. I mean, when you think about it, not obviously this election, but the election prior to us, one vote would have made a huge difference, right?
Yeah.
Because Peggy and Sheila tied.
Yeah.
True. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
right. So when do we do the advance vote?
So not the 17th or the 21st, because that's when this first day. That would be terrible. Anyways, I would say the week before, like the 14th, 15th, 16th, maybe.
The Monday before?
Monday, or
not the Monday, the Tuesday?
Tuesday before, the 14th?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
that's the day after the Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Should work. Can you? What's a resolution? What's the difference between a resolution and a motion?
So make a motion. Can I have a motion to hold advance voting? Do we want to do during office hours, like 10 to 3?
Yes.
9 to 3.
Yeah, or just the afternoon. Does it have to be a whole day?
I would say even 9 to 2, so you don't get
at the last minute.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
9 to 2.
Sure, that works.
I'll make a motion to have advance voting on October the 14th between the hours of 9 and 2.
Here?
Here at the village office.
Any discussion? Not all in favor? And that is carried.
And I'll even leave the office open during lunch hours.
Now the box. You have to apply for another one, or do you?
I think we have boxes back here from the last election. We'll just use them, and I'll seal up the one, and then we count it on election night. You're not allowed to crack the advance ballot box until election night. So
would you just set it up out there at the end?
I would keep it on. You'd have to keep it on this side of the glass, and then I still need to check people off of the registered electors list, and they have to provide. If I don't know them, who they are, you know what I mean. So
you
so we can put up a poster, and we can put up in the newsletter.
Newsletter, yeah, perfect.
Okay. All right, Orse.
As you see it, I'm very long-winded because Christopher Northcott is a chatty fellow. did a budget presentation. The budget, by the sounds of it, will be presented in December, and there's likely to be a 14% increase in membership fees and a 12% increase in the GIS fees. There's going to be an increase probably in subdivision fees as well, but I didn't put that in there because it really doesn't really affect us much. Probably. I talked about the CAO retiring last meeting, and they've hired they grouped a committee of just the board members. The higher board members, whatever they're called.
Exactly.
The executive board, that's what I'm talking about. Instead of getting a hiring group to go through the resumes and stuff to hire a new one. And interviews are, hopefully they started this month. And that was about the extent of that meeting.
Okay. Marcus, they didn't have an August meeting. We'll have a meeting next week. They have their big, big sale fundraiser thing on the 23rd. Solid Waste is tomorrow night.
So South Grow is next Thursday. Twin Valley is
also
next Thursday.
Mayors and Reese, they had a meeting. I wasn't able to go, but one of the things they talked about was the changes to the AGLC casino people, and that now your charitable organization has to have 15 voting board members in order to qualify for a casino, so they're changing that. And then there's discussion about the libraries and Friends of the Library Associations, like they were talking about Chinook Arch, mm-hmm. the implications to Chinook Arch, but it can have implications for smaller libraries. So, yeah. I was just like, oh dear, 15 voting members, so that's a huge impact on community groups and charitable groups.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then there was talk also about the policing. And both Jason Schneider and Deborah Reed,
mm-hmm.
They talked about the increasing cost to policing. So. I don't think that's going away. Secret.
Oh, should have something in October, I would think.
It's November. It's after the election. The 6th. Right. It's the county communications meeting and the local authority elected officials training course for the AEMA. You guys get to do that. That's during the day, and then B-Cramp is at 4:30, and then communications is at 6, according to my calendar from the last one.
Okay, FCSS.
I'm not going.
Okay. So I see we have an item for closed session under FOIP Section 16, third party business interest. May I have a motion to go into closed session at
8:13? I can make a motion to go into closed session.
All in favor? It's carried. I'll come out of, motion to come out of camera at 8:42. All in favor? Carried. There's no motions coming out of closed session. So adjourn the meeting at 8:42. Perfect.